Let's just hands again and say this. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive wisdom, insight in your word. We believe and receive that there's no distraction or confusion either in this atmosphere or on our hearts. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. Revelation knowledge flows freely in this service. Revelation knowledge flows effortlessly in this service. Revelation knowledge flows in simplicity in this service. And we're edified, built up, empowered, strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alongside those who hear us every day in the body of Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. What is in a new year? Praise the Lord. You know, everybody's always talking about a new year. Naturally, new year brings hope because another year started. Just like a new day. A new year, a new day. Always has this expectation it creates. When I was younger, I remember that we'd say, oh, let's quickly go and have our bath so that we will come into the new year with a fresh body odor. Something like that. And then my dad would say, at 11:59, you ring the bell. Back down, everybody come together. They want to pray into the new year. So as 11:59, we're all waiting. Say, oh Lord, you know, and he says, every sin you committed in 2020, whatever, let it go with the past year. Say, God, confess all the sins of the former year. Then the name of Jesus, say, amen. So we enter the new year like that. Happy new year, everybody's happy and all that. But usually he didn't change. And we didn't change too. So it was just like an excitement of a new year. Now we are believers. You know, we must understand what a year means. What does it mean? As believers, new creation. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What does a new year mean to us? A new year is not when to start doing fireworks. Pa, po, pa, po, 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 po. Then on the happy new year. Everybody enjoys that. But we need to go into the Word of God and, you know, get a hold of the Word. What is in a new year? What is in it? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See, the written Word is for all seasons. The written Word is for all seasons. You don't have to be in any particular year to look at the written Word. The written word is always the stability we have because the written word is for all seasons. It's our judgment of seasons and times, of people. The written word. That's why a church that doesn't emphasize the teaching of the written word makes it difficult for the believers who are part of it to be able to judge anything. Anything. And sometimes some people can be very careless. They'll share their pulpit with motivational speakers. There's nothing wrong with motivational speaking. It helps. I've done this year and last year, I had some times where I had to feature to just speak to motivate people. And I wasn't preaching the Bible. But what I was saying was inspired also by the Bible. And I would encourage people, motivate them. It's part of life. People need motivation. Do you agree? I saw the man you found say, yes, sir, I get it. You need all the motivation, perspiration, inspiration. Because your state is not going to change. I know the ones who are number 10. Does the number E, oh, does the number, you're going to be like that for a while. I mean, if you like, say, ha, 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 ha. You know, but you need motivation. So there's nothing wrong in motivation. And you say, you perspire to acquire, to refire. And though you not retire, you know, those ones are quotes, but they are good motivators who speak and they inspire you, you know. And so sometimes when a pastor shares his pulpit with people like that, he creates a judgment problem for his people. And then the church is now turned to anything can happen. You can bring someone in. The guy wants to talk about business and finances. Finances. Who did Jesus share his pulpit with? Are you aware of anybody? Say, I have one brother here. He's the MD of Jerusalem Capital. They are into investments. You know, I'm a carpenter. But he has the grace for it. Then the guy speaks. Nobody. Paul didn't share his pulpit with anybody to come and tell the people about how to pay taxes to the Roman government. No. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't have that knowledge, but that is not the focus of the church. So when a church starts to do things like that, it challenges the capacity of its parishioners, members, to judge. Because you must be able to judge. Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews says, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, that which be the first principle of the oracles of God. Now it says in verse 13, you have become need of milk, not of strong meat. He says, you are unskillful in the word of righteousness. But it says, he that is mature, perfect, right? He says he has exercised his senses, verse 14, to discern between good and evil. Not to be able to know the difference is a problem. You find believers today, because of the social media rage, they say, well, I used to think that Jesus is the way, but I think now he is a way. So why? Are you now telling me that everybody in the world has to believe in Jesus? It's like saying, are you not telling me everybody in the world has to have a brain? What, when it comes to salvation, why do we think we can't have one Savior? We have one Son, right? But we can't have one Savior. There was a year we had one disease that everybody talked about. The disease was translated into every language. So why can't we have one Savior? Now, when a church member starts to think like that, there are two things. It's either an absence of proper Bible teaching, or he's just a very, very carnal fellow. So when a pulpit begins to share with or share the privilege of preaching both between the pastor and any other person, those who don't study the word of God, those who don't understand the word of God, sometimes they will quote it, right? They'll just say it by the way. One guy was talking and he was called for one program in the church. He's not a pastor. The Bible says to be able to preach in church, you must be a bishop, skillful in the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2, 2 Timothy 2, 24. You have to be apt to teach. So he just came up and just quoted the scripture. He said, even Jesus said that the unrighteous are wiser than the righteous. He just said that. He said, who? So the boy said that, the parents said, who? It was a free pass. He just started quoting many unrighteous people. But Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Paul was clear about that. Why did he say that? In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said there were believers who were going to unbelievers to judge matters. Then he said to them, don't you know that you will judge the world? You will judge the angels? If you, who will judge such mighty matters, what do you think he's saying? This, he calls anything about life, he said, they are small matters. He said, the least esteemed in the churches is able to handle your issues. He said, rather than go to the unbeliever to tell you what to do, Paul said, rather suffer the wrong. That's why he said, know ye not that the unrighteous cannot carry God's authority. People think he's talking about going to heaven when you die. No. He's saying the unrighteous do not inherit. They don't have a place in God's authority. They cannot act on behalf of God. That's what Paul is saying there. When believers have anything, the unsaved cannot come in between them. Are you here? So whenever the pulpit is shared with all sorts of opinions and philosophies, you will find out that the believer cannot judge. He cannot judge. So he thinks everybody is the same. Everything is the same. Imagine if you didn't introduce anyone to your child, a baby. Then everybody that comes in, that's daddy. That's mommy. After a while, the baby will look at everybody and say, daddy, daddy one, daddy two, daddy three. Because you make no difference. When you start growing up in the word of God, you know the difference. Are you here? Praise the Lord. So I sharpen my discernment in the word of God. I study the word of God more than ever before. Ephesians 5, what is in a new year? Paul says here, see then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, he says. He's talking to believers here. But as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. He repeats that instruction in Colossians 4, 5. We'll look at it too. He says to redeem the time. Now that word redeem is the same word in the original language, which is a Greek language, used for redeeming us from sins. It means to buy it up. As much as possible, to buy it up. It means to save it. Or better still, to make the best use of time. Which means that spirituality forbids wasting time. If you are here and you like to waste time, it's a proof of carnality. You like to just waste time. He says no. You must redeem the time. You must save it. You must. Which means that you must watch how you use time. In Colossians chapter 4 and 5, Paul repeats the same instruction. Colossians chapter 4 and 5. Now he's talking about prayer in verse 2. Continuing prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3 says, we're all praying also for us, that God will open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make manifest. Now look at the prayer. He's saying you should pray for us. Now look at 4. Let's take 4 together. That I may make it manifest. Okay, let's take it again. This part of the prayer, look at 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. So the wisdom of God is for us not to waste the time. To use the time. 2023 is time. December 31st, 2023 is time. January 1st, 2024 is time. It says to redeem it, to save it. Now, in Ephesians, it says because the days are evil. The word proneros there. The days, you know, have... Now, the word evil doesn't mean they are bad. That's not what it means by evil there. I've explained that to us before. The concept of evil, there are two words, proneros and kakos. They don't necessarily mean bad. Many times, not all the time, it means unstable. The days are... They vary. In Luke 11, when he says, if any of you who has a child, you know, should have a child, should say, to ask you for fish, also for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for egg, will you give him a scorpion? And it says, if you've been evil, now that evil doesn't mean if you are bad parents, no. The word evil there is obviously from the Old Testament text. It means unstable. You're frail. If you cannot be relied upon because you're human, how much more would your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to those who ask Him? So which means the days are unstable. They're unpredictable. So which means if they're unpredictable, you do not act like you have it in your hands. So you must save it. Anyone that you can have, you must save it, keep it, use it well. Doesn't mean the days are bad. People are getting born again all over the world. Hallelujah. People got here today, right? I didn't hear you. The days are not bad. But the days are not the same. Days change. The days are not so stable. So Paul says, anyone that comes to you, you have to redeem it. You have to redeem it. Because the days are evil. Now, in Colossians 4:5, he uses the word time as kairos, opportunity. The opportunities don't always come. Believers should know how to use opportunity. I recall someone that I knew quite well. And that day, we'd known for years. I was just impressed upon was an evening to share the gospel with him. And I went to him and I said to him, "What are you thinking about Jesus?" And then he said, "Can we talk about it later?" Somehow, for the first time, he was sober. Very sober. He really felt like we should talk about it. So I kind of felt this was a good time. So I said, "I'm going out for a convention. When I come back, we'll talk about it." That's what I told him. He told me that we should talk about it. We used to not have a conversation around Jesus. He used to talk about Jesus, but he felt Jesus wasn't the only savior. I told him Jesus was the only savior, but we never had a conversation. So I just said, "Okay, we'll talk about it in the evening." By the time I saw him in the evening, he was dead. And I was shocked. Till today, I've not gotten rid of the feeling I have that why did I allow him to have that conversation later on? Why? The way I spoke was almost like we could hold time, but we didn't. I'm not talking about 6 hours. I'm saying less than 3 hours. And the way God did it was like I was the first person who saw him when he died. The first person. No, someone called his name. That's no wrong. Someone called his name. So when I heard it, I knew it must be someone I knew. So I went. I was the first person who got to the scene. That's what I wanted to say. He was gone. So we shouldn't ever think we have time to preach the gospel. Paul said here, "Pray for us that we should walk in wisdom and redeem the time." Raise your hands, say, "I'm wise with time." Now, I'm not just talking about salvation. God's plan requires us to have a sense of urgency about time. Sense of urgency. Sense of urgency about time. I was sharing with the leaders yesterday. As a young man, too younger than I am. I spoke to him about taking the call of God upon his life very seriously. So he told me, he said, "I have time. I'm still this one. And I said, "All right." And I left him. So we spoke well over 20 years after. I think about 22 years or so. So I asked him a question. Then he mentioned his age then. So I said, "Are you still that age?" He said, "No, sir." "Did you wish you listened to me then?" He said, "Yes." "You thought you had time." "No, you don't." In the days of Paul and the apostles, they preached the gospel so much, they felt everything was going to come to an end quickly. There was an urgency with which they went after it. That the gospel will reach the whole world. And you know, scientifically, it's believed that the known world, their known world, they reach everywhere. Why? Because they never felt someone else to do the job. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, "I don't have time. It's not in my hands. So I use time wisely." What's in a year? A year has time and seasons that are not in your hands. Which is why you mustn't be foolish. Don't just start another year with a wish.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you, if wishes were horses, like they say, everybody would ride on them. If wishes were horses, many of us would have gotten degrees without going to school. You want to lie? You felt like, for my first year, is it possible for them to just give me the degree? It's a mere wish. If wishes were horses. Some countries. Now, I don't believe that it is prayer that makes a country economically buoyant. There's no relationship. You get it. People say that these are the most prayerful countries, but they are not poor. They are poor. Those people are ignorant. Jesus' days, Jerusalem had one of their poorest times. It did not improve their economic situation. A church that thinks it has that role has missed it. It's like somebody running 100 meters race built for the stadium in his room. That's not your job. So there's no sort of correlation. People make that error. So we say, let us pray for economic prosperity. Economic prosperity. And we want to economic prosperity. Then you ask, what's economic prosperity? Economic prosperity. No, it doesn't work that way. Joseph, who was in charge of the economy in Egypt, was in charge because he had the sense. He had the knowledge. He had gone through the process of taking care of things and people. Okay? And don't forget, Joseph's presence in Egypt did not bring salvation. So in case you are aspiring to be a Joseph, Joseph did not aspire to be prime minister. He didn't strategize to get there. And the reason why he went to Egypt was to preserve Israel for God's redemptive purpose. It wasn't to change the economy of Egypt or to even bring salvation to Egypt. Are you here? So, we make that error. Sometimes you go to church for prayer. He said, when you pray, don't worry. The contracts, you get it. Now tell people, sometimes you can't even get the contracts because it's a miracle. But prayer will not make you execute the contract. The more you pray and don't focus on the contract, the prayer will fail. Because you have to focus on the contract. Get the skills to do it. We mustn't waste time. We mustn't waste opportunities. Paul says, don't waste opportunities to share the gospel. I would have shared another story, like the first one I said, but let me pause on that. There's another one very similar that happened the same evening. And I said to people with me, I said, this man, is he born again? They said, I said, what if there's no more tonight? And everybody said, it's true. I said, does it really matter if he's so generous? And he gives everybody money. He gave me money. I used it to the glory of God. It was many years ago. Almost 29 years now. So what if his soul is required tonight? That night, the same person passed on. Now I didn't have the time to talk to him. I just remember the one that happened a few years before. When it comes to preaching the gospel, you don't have the time. Did you hear what I said? You do not have the time. And as God's people, if we fail to share the gospel with people, the Bible says God's going to ask you for their lives. He's not going to ask you for how many degrees you have, or how much money you made in the earth. Even though making money is good, you can further godly causes. He's going to ask you for what is dear to his heart. Men's salvation. Don't say, I just got saved last week. I need like 1 year. That's not true. The woman that Jesus met in John 4, as soon as he was done with her, she went to the city, right? To speak about him. The gospel requires no years of experience to preach. You will never be a perfect preacher for the rest of your life. So you can't wait for perfection. Anytime you see that Jesus is the savior of the world, you become his messenger. Did you hear what I just said? You must learn to save time. So what is in a year? A year has times and seasons. Over the course of history, the way a year is used, at some point in history, they used the Hebrew calendar. I think it was about 360 days. We have the Gregorian calendar. We have the Babylonian calendar. We even have the ones used by Muslims, I think. We have the Jewish calendar now. So everybody uses different ones. As I'm speaking right now, I think it's already 2024 in New Zealand. Also Australia. Our church in Australia, I'm sure they are watching us saying, Pastor, we're already in 2024. But here we are. So really, is it about the dates? No. It's about the time. What is time? 2024 is another time. What is in a year? Now talk with me. I'm going to share something very quick with you. Are you here? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to believe that you are Saints Community Church members, okay? Amen? Amen. Up Jesus. So I'm just going to move as quickly as possible. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we have started to know that the word beginning here doesn't mean before time began or a dateless time. It's basically a how God does things. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word heavens there is plural. And the earth was without form and void. And it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we have the first situation in the earth, in verse 2, was called without form and void. The Greek word there is tohu wabohu, which means out of order. It's the same way you get to your living room, okay, and you put it in order. I was trying to set up my study over the last week, and over the years, we had put so many things, we had turned that study into a store. So different things were there. It was like a madhouse. So we had to go in there, and I said to my folks, I said, I want this place to be my study. That's what I intended it to be. It had become a store. In fact, we found, was it 2,000 naira? 2,000 naira. My father kept in year 2,000. He kept it and he wrote it there, year 2,000. So I was keeping it. You know, my wife said to me that, why am I keeping it? Is it the same 200 naira? I said, no. It's a memorabilia. You know, and it's there. So everything was there. We had, so many things were just there. So I told them, we're going to reset the place. I want this here. I want that there. So the way it was is tohu wabohu. Without form and void. So what is it meant to be? A study. So we now made it what it was meant to be. So that's what Genesis 1-2 is saying. Things were out of order. So God putting it in order by his spirit said in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. And the light there, pay good attention, is not the sun, moon, and stars. Light in scripture, first of all, shows you God's plan. Is that which makes manifest. It wasn't the sun, moon, and stars. The light there can't be the sun, moon, and stars because the sun, moon, and stars showed up in verse 14 and 15 through to 16. So if the sun, moon, and stars is how we look at 365 days, we call them 365 calendar days, lunar months, okay? Which means we look at the sun, moon to gauge it's now Monday, it's now Tuesday, and so on and so forth. So that means the first day in scripture can be a Monday or Tuesday since the sun, moon, and stars didn't feature until chapter verse 14, 15. Is that clear? We've done that study before. So God puts things in order. He puts things in order by saying, let there be light, and there was light. Then look at verse 5. He divided verse 4, the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, the darkness he called night. Don't forget, the darkness was there already. The darkness was the confusion, right? The other purpose. He called the darkness night. And evening and the morning were the first day. So, pay attention, please. Which means, within the space of the frame of time, we must no, we're going to engage day and what? Night. Which means God's light and confusion is part of time. So, don't forget the time we're referring to here, which we'll show you in a moment, is not 365 days. So pay good attention. Day and night. God called it night. It's not that God created the night. Like there was no night before. There was already darkness. And I told you, creation in the Bible is not something out of nothing. It's to give something its purpose. Is that very clear? Are you with me? Come on, guys. Are you with me? So follow this one now. So, it separated it. It separated the waters. Day and night. Then the waters. Waters above. Waters in the earth. Waters under the earth. All that is in Genesis 1. He begins to reorder things. He puts them in order. So if I read Genesis chapter 1, I am not reading creation story of material world. I am reading God defining the purpose of the earth. So the purpose of the earth is defined by his light. He is the light of the world. So we do not know purpose outside of him. He is the light of the world. It's through him that we have direction. And as believers, I've told you before, our worldview is a Bible worldview. Our worldview is framed from God's word. The way we see a year, the way we see a period, must come through the lenses of the scriptures. Say, he is my light and my salvation. He is my wisdom and my understanding. Now, pay good attention. Something similar to Genesis 1 and verse 2 now happened in Genesis chapter 6, which is a direct application. Genesis chapter 6, we often call it the flood of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart were only evil. He repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Then in verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that have made them. Then Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now quickly, look at verse 11. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, it says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So we find the same status of confusion in the earth in Genesis chapter 6. Now, notice in Genesis chapter 7, quickly, after God told Noah to build an ark, we said that ark is what? What's the ark? It's a temple. It's not a boat. It's not a ship. It's a temple. Now, look at verse 17. Let's take it together, 17 and 18. Genesis 7, 17, let's go. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters what? Oh, I'll wait for you. I thought you have your Bible. Let's go again. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. Huh? And the waters increased. And above the flood, it was lifted up above the earth. Look at 18. And the waters prevailed and were increased. Then look at it. And the what? Have you read that before? Where? Genesis 1, 2. The ark, which is a temple, right, where the Spirit of God is upon the face of the waters. So what are we here? What do we have here? We have a new beginning. A new beginning. So it says that the ark was upon the face of the waters, chapter 8 and 4. It says that the ark rested in the seventh month. Very similar was in Genesis chapter 2 verse 3. The ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So, we need to learn a lesson in here quickly. Genesis chapter 8. And God had seen what had happened. He had found Noah. I will tell you many times that God's method is what? Man. He found Noah. The earth was going to go down. All right? But God found a man, Genesis chapter 6 and 8, 3 to 9, who had grace. His grace. Okay, so Genesis chapter 8, quick one. In verse 20.
Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, let's take 21 together and slowly. Now, usually, verse 22 has been abused by people who take offerings. Sadly so. But look at verse 21. So, let's give a context to it. Pay attention now. Was there a reset in the earth? Yeah? Did things go back to the Genesis status? Alright? Can we say, this is a new beginning? Are you here? Now look at what now happens. Look at 21. Let's take 21 together. Let's go. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I'll not again. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything, living thing, as I have done. So hold on now. Now, the way the King James is, the English Bible, is like God goes like, Nigerian Jollof. No. We're going to see what he meant by a sweet smelling savour. Now, he now says, look, man is going to make errors. He's going to sin. Which means there's going to be evil in the earth. Because that's what we saw in Genesis 6 and 5. Genesis 6, 11 and 12. He said, but however, listen carefully now, I will not again smite the earth because of evil. Now, you see, people usually, anytime they find evil in the earth, maybe there's war, something going wrong, they say, that means the earth is going to end. They assume that evil will end the earth. No, it won't. God already said it won't. No amount of evil will end the earth. God has said it. No amount of corruption will end the earth. No amount of people sin will end the earth. So stop looking out for Antichrist when there's a virus or things are happening. Maybe people are, the moment maybe people are committing sin or they find people into idolatry, say, hey, it means the world is coming to an end. They feel that the world will end by evil. No, that's never going to happen. So he says, the earth will no longer be destroyed because of man's actions. Are you here? I want you to listen very well. And I believe in 2024, which starts in a few hours, I will explain much of this in the relevance of today. Now look at what he says next. He says, I'll no more smite the earth because of mankind's evil. In fact, in chapter 9 and 16, chapter 9 verse 16, look at it. It says, the bowl shall be in the cloud. I'll look upon it, may remember what? The everlasting covenant between God, every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. That is, I will not destroy the earth. Or in proper Hebrew language, I will prevent the earth from being destroyed because of man's sins. So people oftentimes they start preaching judgment. When you get to a place and maybe you find people into same-sex marriage, which is not biblical, or they find people committing atrocities. Hey, the earth is going to be destroyed now. The earth is going now. Why? That's not the word of God. God has an everlasting covenant that evil will not destroy the earth. Hallelujah. Evil will never destroy the earth. Look at Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah said the same thing. Are you in church? Most of the people who preach the rapture of the church, I have no problem with the rapture of the church, but it's just the way the rapture is going to happen that we might have to look at it differently. But Isaiah 54, look at this. And verse number 5. It says that Michael is our husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall be he be called. For the Lord had called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou was refused here the Lord. Let's take seven together and slowly. I'll wait for you. Let's go, let's go. For a little, I've forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather. Look at eight. I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, said the Lord, thy Redeemer. Nine. Waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn. So what did he say to Noah? I have an everlasting covenant for the earth not to be what? Destroyed. Is that very clear? That's what he said. So now, if the earth will not be destroyed because of evil, God is not denying evil. There will be evil. He just said it in Genesis 8:21. There will be evil. People will do unstable things. People will do, and evil doesn't just mean very bad. It could be bad many times. It also means unstable. People can be believers, people can be unbelievers. People can do good, people can do evil. People can be faithful, they can be unfaithful. Then look at verse 22. Are you here? Are you there? Oh, you are here and there together, okay. Genesis chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Verse 20, let's go. Hold on, let's take the context. The context is, the earth will no longer be what? Right? And what will be in the earth? Man who can be unstable, right? So look at 22. While the, which earth now? The earth that has what? That has evil. Man's imperfections. Are you here? Let's go. While the earth, in the Hebrew, the word remaineth is lasting. So any sermon that says that the earth will be destroyed is not a biblical one. It's not a biblical one. Let's take it again. 22, let's go. While the earth remaineth, while which earth remaineth? The earth where man is what? Unstable. Because of that instability, we're going to have times and what? Seasons. Things are not going to run the same way. As long as man is in the earth, don't expect anything to be constant. The only constant thing in the earth will be man's ways. Sometimes dependable, sometimes undependable. Sometimes reliable, sometimes unreliable. He says seed time and harvest. People have used that for offerings. That's wrong. He wasn't talking about offering. He was saying, look, now I am going to have to bear with man's sin. I'm going to have to bear with evil. Same thing in Matthew 19. When they came to Jesus and they asked him, okay, for which reason shall a man put away his wife? Verse 3. He said, have you not read that which made them at the beginning, Matthew 19:4, made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, it shall be one flesh. There are no more twin but one. Wherefore what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Then he said, why then does Moses give a bill of divorcement or give an instruction, a command that he can, give a bill of divorcement to his wife? Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. That means he permitted you. But from the beginning, it wasn't so. Which means in the word of God, we're going to find God's long suffering. Long suffering with what? Our incapacities, our incapabilities, sin and weakness. He said, that's not God's plan. God's plan is Genesis 1. But God, seeing the ideal, sees we are not ideal. We're walking towards the ideal, but many times we're not the ideal. What does he do? He now bears with it. That's what Peter was saying. That we know the long suffering of our God is salvation. Where the perfect God has to walk with imperfection. The God who lives in no time has to walk with time. The God who is all good has to bear with evil. Sometimes he has to walk with it.
So Genesis 8:2 says, as long as that earth remains, nothing will be constant outside God's love. Human beings will not be constant. Things will change. Not because that's how God wants it, but that's how man is. Sometimes people say, if God is so good, why can't he destroy evil from the earth? If he destroys evil, will you remain? He took the better option to walk with it. And he will see it be glorified. I said he will see it be glorified. So where are we now? He says, day and night will not cease. Times and seasons will not cease. So until we get to the perfect will of God for the earth, which the book of the book of Revelation shows us. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you will discover there are certain things that will say the day of the Lord, the time of the Lord, usually is when he intervenes in judgment, but it never destroys the earth because he has given an everlasting covenant. No amount of wars can destroy the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Revelation 22. Are you in church? Look at this one. Revelation 22. He showed me, verse 1, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, poured out of the throne of God, of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on the inner side of the river, was there a tree of life which bore 12 manners of fruits, and yielded out fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Let's take verse 3 together. There shall no more. No more be what? Curse. For the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve it. Let's take verse 4 together. His name shall be in the... Let's take verse 5. There shall no more be night. The light of the sun. Can you see? So we're looking at new creation. New creation means there's no more night. New creation means that there is the healing of the nations. It's not seed time and harvest. We're going to have a harvest. We're not going to have cold or heat. We're not going to have day and night. The Lord will be the light of that time. But in between God's perfect work in the earth will be times and what? Seasons. A believer, a child of God, must know that as long as God walks with man, there will be times and seasons. So if he knows this in his mind, anyone who promises you El Dorado, everything's going to be fine, don't worry, everything's going to be good, don't worry, they are not preaching from the Bible. They are not. The only time when everything is going to be all fine, all through, is when that man is no longer in the earth. Are you here? That man of Genesis 8:21. But as long as the earth remains that way, we're going to have seed time and harvest. That is why Paul will say, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. The days are unstable. Is that clear? Look at the year 2020. Don't let anybody fool you. I don't know anyone. Maybe there was. I was not on TV or known to me. That predicted the COVID. People try to bring some things into the picture. I said, don't. You should have just said COVID. Don't say that one. We didn't prepare for it. We prepared for camp meeting. We had even put the videos out. The camp meeting never helped. Things just change in the world. Things like that happen for us to remember. Remember the role of the church and how we must never waste time. Never. Because it is not in your power. A lot of things determine a year. A lot of things. A Christian must be armed with the word of God to walk through it. He asked Jesus in Acts 1:6, would you at this time restore again to the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you. Then he says to know the times and the seasons. Times and seasons, there is opportunity and order of time. Which God, as the Father has put, is no power. They say you shall receive power. Acts 1:8, after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Interestingly, and very vitally, look at that, Acts 1:7 and 8. And read Luke 9:1 and 2. Where Jesus called the 12 and he gave them authority and power to go and preach. Authority and power to go and preach. So listen carefully. What is Luke saying between Luke 9:1 and 2 and Acts 1:7 and 8? He said, look, it is not for you. Times and seasons. What you have is a mandate from God. Are you here? What you have is a mandate from God. And the greatest thing you can use time for is to preach the gospel of Jesus. What is time for? Time is to redeem the earth. What is time for? Time is to use whatever period we are to fulfill God's plan. What's time for? Time is not for birthdays. Thank God for birthdays where we give thanks. But time is strictly for God's use. For his work of redemption. For his plans in the earth. So you shall receive power after with the Holy Ghost has come on you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, time is to preach the gospel. Time is to save man. Time is to redeem sinful man. And in that time, we're going to have seasons. Things are not going to remain the same. Economies will rise and fall. Expect that. Economies will go up and down. Expect that. Because man is there. Evil will rise. Some place will be good. Some will be evil. Expect that. You as a believer, you have some of your wishes dashed. Expect it. There will be disappointment. Expect it. There will be those who will hate you. Expect it. There will be those who will war against you. Those who will like you. Expect you. Why? Because as long as the earth remains. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Let me see your hand. Seed time and what? Harvest. It will cease. The church's role, and my role as your pastor, is to prepare you for it. Paul says, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Take on the whole armor of God that you're able to withstand the devil in the evil day. Which means there will be unstable days. What you need to do is to arm yourself with the word of God. Are you here? Don't let anybody offer you what God hasn't offered you. Some people today are discouraged because the churches have offered them what is not in the word of God. They're giving them good promises. Don't worry. This one. Some people say, anything you ask God, he will give to you. Who's told you that? Anything you ask God, ask Josephus. Or man, you fans. Devils, for that matter. Jokes apart. It can't be true. No. Don't worry. Now that you are in Christ Jesus, it's just going to be smooth. Smooth? That's not true. God never said so. If it was true, Jesus would never have been crucified. Jesus was crucified because there was man. When the Bible says according to the scriptures, it just means this is a pattern you should have seen. Are you here? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest won't cease. Look at that Genesis 8:21, quick one. When it says the Lord smelled, I wonder what the Hebrew Bible will wonder what we have done in English. The word smell there is from the word ruach, the Spirit of God, just like Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God, from the word reyach, R-E-Y-A-C-H, it means the breath of God. The breath of God. Now, it says, he smelled, Genesis 8:21, that breath of God, what did he do? The word Savor, sweet smelling Savor, is the same word as Nuach, N-U-A-C-H, God's rest place, which means God found his rest. Where is he found his rest? He found his rest in Noah's worship. He found his rest place in Noah's worship. So the sweet smelling Savor will mean, in spite of the evil, God will dwell in our worship, in our service. In our service, how do we use the time we're in? We serve God. It's in serving God that we find his perfect will. Brothers and sisters, in this coming year, this is not a prophecy. It's just the word of God. Something you must do more than the last year is to serve God. You cannot predict times and seasons. I'm saying it to you again. You can't even control it. But you can know that your response to it is to serve God. You know the earth is his resting place. So when God smelled a sweet smelling Savor, it meant that by his spirit, he found a place of residence in our worship, in our service. The word Nuach is used all through the Old Testament for God's resting place, for God's temple. For God's temple. So what is this coming year for us? It's to serve God. To serve God. To do what? To serve God. To redeem man. To put order back in the earth. We serve God. To put it back. So when Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil, what he's saying is this. Our work in the light of God is to redeem back his creation. To use time well. To use time in the earth for why God made the earth. God has said, in spite of the chaos, in spite of man's behavior, his resting place will be right there. He knows how to find riches in the darkness. He knows how to call light out of darkness. So no matter what you see in your nation, your city, your town, your village, anywhere you are, know that God's spirit is his answer. God's spirit will come upon that chaos, his sweet smelling Savor, and he will find his place of rest. What do I need to do? I will serve him. Say, I will serve him. You cannot determine times and seasons, but you can choose to serve God no matter what goes on in the world, because you know that the earth is his resting place. So Paul says to us, the days are evil. Hallelujah. The days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5. The days are unstable. The days are not the same. Expect some days that, oh, you wonder, this is not what I planned. Expect some days, oh my God. Expect some huge disappointments in some places. Expect some, oh, what's going on here? Expect some of the things you wished. Some of you start business just this year. I know you've set your plan. You said, well, this is going to be our profitability and all that. And right now, you're already reworking your losses. Sometimes you said, by the end of this year, I'll do this. You know why it doesn't work like that? Because that earth remains. But you know what? God will still be glorified. Evil doesn't stop him. Are you here? So we're not scared of evil. We're bold in the word of God. Are you here? You learning something here? Ephesians 5. So, no amount of how you pray into the new year, it will still be another time and seasons. No amount of how much you say, you know, I'm have New Year resolution. Look how many New Year revolutions or resolutions you have made. Accept that times and seasons are in the earth. And do what Paul said, Ephesians 5. Are you with me in church? He said, we must walk circumspectly. Verse 15. Not as fools, but as wise. Say, I'm not foolish. Say, I'm not foolish. I told you earlier. Never waste time. Never. I'll serve God next year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give next week. No. Now. Hallelujah. If you are going to redeem time, you will act like it's not in your power. So whatever you are going to do, you are going to do where?
No.
If you are going to pray, you are going to pray where?
No.
If you are going to study, you are going to do where?
No.
Preach the gospel?
No.
Serve God?
No.
Get serious with your life?
No.
Praise God. Follow God's plan?
No.
Ephesians 5. Redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Save up time. Tell someone besides you, don't waste time. Take it,
don't waste time.
And I pray for you in the name of Jesus, you will not waste time. You will waste time. So we're on holiday now. I tell you, I don't take holidays given by the government. I take the holidays I give myself when I've walked. We're on holiday. Ah, till, and some people collected their salary January 21, December 21. See how long they will have to spend it. You know, I say, it seems like this January is slow. It has to be slow. They'll be waiting. I'm waiting. Meanwhile, the musicians are making money. The film actors are making money. The people who are already are spending their money. What a world. You have to be sensible with time. During these holidays, don't you think people went to hell? Yeah, they did. Were people born again?
Yeah.
Did the devil go on holiday? Did he say, okay guys, demons are for now. There's Boxing Day. Go and see your family. There's Christmas. You know, Jesus was born on Christmas. So, the demon who is in Chelsea, you stay.
Yeah.
The demons in Old Trafford, you got to be whole. Stay right there. You know, everybody should beat you. I'm in for Man U this year. They have. Well, I'm going to leave Chelsea for some time. So I said, no, I'm joining you both of you. No, why I'm leaving Chelsea is because there's really nothing to talk about. Yes, yes. They already seen blues, so no problem. But you know, the devils are not on break. Right? Right? People were still taking drugs, right? Had drugs, even they did it more. And the believer said, we're on holiday now, let's just go and have a picnic. Oh boy. Picnic? I shall have you picnic, pray in tongues. When you see people at the picnic, preach to them. Are you following what I'm saying here? We're not going to waste time in Jesus' name. Your business, are you planning for it? What are you doing? In your career, what are you doing? You are complaining. The country is hard. The country is hard. Ever since I was born, I've been hearing the country is hard. Go and listen to all the songs from the 60s. And the people singing the country is hard, they are getting richer. The musicians. Those who are even on social media, Twitter, talking about the country is hard. They are getting more likes and getting money for saying the country is hard. They are making it hard for you. Who is following them foolishly? I walk in God's plan. The earth is for the diligent, the consistent, those who are ready to walk through their conviction, no matter the times and seasons. So knowing that, you must stick to your conviction. You must stick and be diligent. You started a business venture. In 6 months, they told you that in 6 months, they said, don't worry, your ROI, they'll give you all those nice things. Then in 6 months, your profit is looking like a loss. Then you say, maybe it's not God's plan. Why do believers talk like that the moment it's something that is difficult? Difficulty is part of this earth, but we are stronger. I know somewhere by a child of God, we don't throw in the towel. Someone said something I love. He said, we don't throw in the towel. Rather, we take it and clean our sweat and continue. I like that. If you are crying, clean your tears and continue. Hallelujah. Learn to get things done. Do you get what I'm saying? At your workplace, learn to get things done. Don't start. You see, when you don't want to do something, you look for an excuse. If you abandon your task today, you'll be forced to do it tomorrow. So don't waste the time. Paul says, walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. How? So we should walk. Where do we walk? We walk in God's tabernacle. Walk with God. Say, I walk with God. In the days we're in, walk with God. The only way you can have stability in the times is to walk with God, because the times are not going to be the same. But God is the same. Because I know He's the same, I'll walk with Him. When I walk with Him, I'll hear from Him. And then my life will become consistent. No matter the inconsistencies happening in the world that I live in, I'll remain consistent. In the name of Jesus. In the coming year, walk with God. Serve Him. Walk with Him. Look at verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine when it's excess. Don't give yourself to indulgence. Indulge yourself in excesses. Moral excesses. Habits. So rather be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So in any year of your life, be filled with the Spirit. Say, I'm filled with the Spirit. Say, I'm filled with the Spirit. Say, I'm filled with the Spirit. I didn't hear say, I'm filled with the Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. No matter the circumstance, a believer must never, ever abandon his thanksgiving. Because when we start to murmur, we start to corrupt the earth. Say, I give thanks. Say, I give thanks. Just take 1 minute and just give thanks. Someone say, for what reason? I'm just giving thanks. Go ahead and just think, thank God. Thank Him. Give Him praise. Thank Him. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him big. Thank Him big, 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 big. Hallelujah. So as we approach 2024, I've told you times and seasons will remain, right? Nothing should shock you. Times and seasons will remain. Human beings will make promises and fail, right? Not because they are bad people, because you also make promises and fail. Nations will come and say something else will happen. The hearts of men will fail them. It's in times and seasons, but we remain constant. There's one that we look up to in our lives, who is the Ancient of Days. He's the one who was, who is, and is to come. We'll walk with Him. And our lives will be consistent. No matter the seasons and times, hallelujah, our lives will be consistent. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me share these instructions with you. Knowing the times we are in, the first thing I want to say to you as your pastor, don't waste opportunities. Did you hear me? Don't waste opportunities. If you watch some football games, and we all do that, you see the strikers, the first few minutes, they'll just waste it. Ha ha. And then towards the end of the game, they'll not be running. Why did they not run initially? It's just the way we are sometimes. We waste opportunities. Never think an opportunity is going to come again. Use it well. Relationships, access to people. Use it well. In your business. I remember one time like that, we were trying to do something, and we had signed the contract. A company, myself and my partner. We had signed the contract, and then the funds were available. We checked the funds. So, you know, we're going to do a year deal. We're going to be doing an oil and gas transaction, so we're ready. So the third part of our like a tripartite agreement, the other guy said he's in England, that we should give him 2 weeks that he's going to come. Now, we didn't see anything wrong in 2 weeks. We're already good with the time. 2 weeks, said, no, he wants to come in there. He didn't want to sign a truck. We should have another meeting. Then we'll discuss and all that. So wait. Within 1 week, the government policy just changed. We were seeing the money, he wasn't seeing us. Why? Because someone said, wait for me. Don't waste opportunities. Did you hear me? I told you one about preaching the gospel. Don't waste opportunities. When you have time to pray, pray. There are times that, you know, Jesus called the disciples and said, let's pray. They were sleeping. He came again, they were sleeping. He came again and told them, hey, sleep on. That time has gone. May I not waste opportunities. Secondly, don't waste time. Don't waste time. Learn to be punctual. Did you hear me? And to church too. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Those of you outside, can I have an amen?
Amen?
No, outside. Outside, can I have an amen? Thank you. That's the word of God for you. Don't come in late. When you have appointments, don't come in late. At your workplace, it's bad to hear, is that born again man of God? He's always late. If he gives you 4, just go there by 7. That's not good. Imagine if God does that to you. We're all here praying and he says, guys, I told you I'll be back. Don't waste time. Say, I won't waste time. Say, I won't waste time. Praise the Lord. Don't waste time. If you are here, you are used to wasting time. Let that bad habit stop. It's a carnal habit. Don't waste time. If you have to take a course now, take the course now. If you have to do something, do it now. Don't act like time is in your hands. And I'm talking to you young people. Think you have time, you can do. No, sir. No. 2023 is just rolling by. Don't say, this year moved fast. Those who say that, you know why? Because they had nothing they were doing. There's no year that is fast. There's no year that is slow. You either make it fast or you make it slow. Do not waste time. Did you hear me? Don't waste time. There are things that you will do that you did it at out of time is no longer useful. I just told you something. If I now preaching to that brother now, that guy, would he do anything? Nothing. It's gone. It's gone. There are businesses you should have started. You waited and you say, for now, I think I should. Now, by the time you are now doing the business, the whole world is not doing it. Someone told me, I had that idea. So? Say, somebody stole it. Nobody stole your idea. They only used it. You didn't use it. They heard it and used it. Some people are saying, me and someone, we composed a song together. He took it out of the studio. Why did you not also compose it and bring it? Well, it's when we heard it from the person that it was sweet. What do they say in law? The first in time, equity aids the vigilant. The diligent, not the indolent. The first in time also prevails. The first person. You stayed at home. You say, I have this song. God, come and do. Somebody else will do so. Woo! Say, I didn't give you credit. We don't know the credit in the room. It's the credit in the studio. Start what you should start now. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So I say, I'll preach the gospel, but let me sort out this one. You will never do it because the devil will never allow you to do it. Start now. I'm supposed to, someone said, I know I'm supposed to start this business, but you know something, he said, I'm afraid. He said, I don't want to start from the scratch. I said, if you, no matter how many years you stay in your industry, when you come out, you're still going to start from the scratch. If you relocate to any country, you start from the scratch. Everybody will start from scratch. Scratch is where everything starts from. Even God started the earth from the scratch. The only two things you start from the top, the grave and the well, which one do you want? Stop what you should stop now! Stop it now too. Don't postpone it. Plan. Build. Be patient. Be patient. Because you know times and seasons who sees. God himself is patient. He was patient with his plan, right? He was. You too, be patient. Many people abandon things quickly. When there's any conflict, they abandon it. No, sir. In Christ Jesus, we have learned not to abandon things. We stay with it. If it's our conviction, we stay with it. Through hell and high waters, through every season, we stay with what we believe. And you know what? We will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So I learned to be consistent. I learned to be consistent. I learned to be stable. Learn to plan. Learn to build. Learn to be patient. Hear this one. Learn to be intentional about fulfilling your plans. People start things from the way they talk. They were not planning. to finish it. If you are here today, you have many unfinished projects. School, you didn't finish. You are traveling somewhere, you always drop by the on the road. Relationship, you broke it, or it broke you. House, you didn't. That's not a good pattern. Disciples, you start with one person, you are back. But that's how you are going to be. Say, I learned to finish things. Say, I learned to finish things. I stay with my convictions till it is fulfilled in the name of Jesus. In the local church, I'll close here. The local assembly. You know, Hebrews tells us, 10:25, not forsaking the assembly together one another. As a man of some is, so as you see the day approaching, which means, as we see time, supersede time, the reason to come together as believers must always increase. Always. As a member of a local assembly, when would you give your full commitment to it? When? Those who say, give me 1 year. Usually it becomes 2, 3, 4 years. It becomes more difficult. When would you serve God? Does God give you the option of bidding your time before you serve the local church? No, he doesn't. Because the Bible says they joined themselves. As they got saved, they were added to the church and began to serve in prayers, in fellowship. Acts 2:42. In breaking of bread. The apostles' doctrine. You must make a commitment to be committed now. You don't have that kind of time. I know people who are, now I know some of you, I told you, this is what God wants you to do. They'll wait. I told someone, I said this to you in 2017. This is 2023. You are here to do it. Why? You are waiting for the perfect moment. There will never be a perfect moment. There will never be a perfect moment. There will never be one. Because God never had a perfect moment. Start now. I want to preach the gospel, but I'm looking for a time when I have time in the evening. The time will never come. How sad is business? But I'm waiting for this one when all the capital will be in one place. It will never come. I want to get married. But before I want to get married, I want to know the number of children we are going to have. Go and be knowing it. I want the house to be set, the world to be set. It will never be set. I want to do this one. I'm waiting for it will never be set. Now, I've not asked you to go and get married as an idiot. Don't take my words out of context. But you know what I'm saying, right? So I use time well. I use it well. This time next year, make sure you have grown. 2024 for us is a year of growing. Did you hear me? I told the leaders yesterday, it's a time for growing. Say, I grow. Say, I grow. Not just spiritually alone. You are going to grow spiritually. You are going to grow mentally, emotionally. You are going to grow financially. You are going to grow in influence. But listen to me. You must be deliberate about it. You must be intentional about it. To grow, I want to grow. I want to grow. And to grow, you have to make sacrifices, right? Commitments, right? You have to be disciplined. You have to be diligent. Look at the things you started. Which one did you finish? Be intentional. Don't be carried away with the seasons of Christmas and New Year. When you get home today, sit down. And start to make notes. Okay? Okay? Start to make notes. Start to make calls. Start to make plans. And don't wait till Tuesday, January 2nd. Some people are going to work today and tomorrow. Because they believe what they are doing is essential. Start to work today. That's why we are sending you home on time. There's no time to be doing fireworks at 12 midnight. Is that clear? Usually I sleep into the new year. I've been doing it for many years. Praise the Lord. You ready for a new year? Yes, sir.
times and seasons, opportunities, disappointments, but your hope will never die. Because we as believers, we always have hope. We always have hope. Why do we have hope? I'll tell you this. Because our hope is in God, who works all things after the counsel of his will. So you must never be hopeless. Knowing that God will work with any circumstance, I can never be hopeless. Knowing that there is no season he can't work with, I can never be hopeless. Knowing that evil doesn't stop him, I can never be hopeless. A barren Sarah and an incapable Abraham, God saw a nation. I see hope in my life. I see hope in the lives of those with me. When God's word comes to you, the first thing it does to you, it gives you hope. What is hope? Hope is an expectation, a goal, something to look forward to. I always look forward to God's work, to the work of God's Spirit. What about you? I said, what about you? I'm always looking forward to something. When I wake up in the morning, I'm looking forward to something. Every day, every week, I'm looking forward to something. Because even when there's hopelessness in the world, like Abraham, against hope, I believe in God's hope. I have his hope. That's why even the Bible says death is not an end. He said, if only in this life we have hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19. He said, we have all men miserable, but there is hope even after that. There's the hope of our calling, Ephesians 1:18. There's Christ in us, Colossians 1:27, the hope of that glory. So we always have a strong expectation that all things will work after the counsel of his will by the help of his Spirit. Let me close with this one, Father. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Knowing times and seasons will always change. Human beings will change. Disappointments will come. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. You ready for a new year? Are you ready for a new year? There's nothing in the year except what you have put inside it, right? Nothing. It's what you put inside it that you are going to see. Remember years back, we had this piggy bank, call it Kolo. So we were all trying to check it. Some were disappointed. When we broke it, go! Nothing came out. For one person, it was a cockroach that came up. Pew! Others had coins. Some had notes. It's what you put in the year that you get at the end of the year. Put diligence, right? Seriousness. Prayer. Efforts. Right? Punctuality. What about punctuality? What about punctuality? Effectiveness. More knowledge. Building relationships well. At the end of that year, you will get what you put inside. Stand to your feet. Let's just pray. Pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We step into a new year deliberately to fulfill God's plan. Deliberately to get things done. Pray. Come on, pray.